now on the Breakfast Show with Sandy headlines this morning. The detective investigating the man alleged to be the Army's most senior agent within the IRA will recommend prosecutions next year. And as we heard earlier in the programme, Northern Ireland's top health official has apologised to the families of vulnerable adults who were abused at the Muckamore Abbey Hospital. Richard Pengelly, the Permanent Secretary at the Department of Health, said he was appalled and angered that vulnerable people were let down. If you weren't with us at around 7 o'clock, we heard from the Chief Nursing Officer, Charlotte McCardle. She's from the Department of Health, and she says she believes it was not the right time for a public inquiry into what happened.
The Department hasn't outruled that as a possibility. What we're saying is, at the moment, that is a ministerial decision, but also the police investigation has to take primacy, and we need to allow it the time and space to carry out its investigation. An independent inquiry at the moment would not be the right time.
So that's a no insofar until we have a minister. It's a decision that the permanent secretary, even if he was perhaps to be granted a special dispensation by the Secretary of State, couldn't, as it stands now, take.
As it stands within his power, and he said this very clearly last night, it's not within his gift to be able to do that at the moment. That would be for an incoming minister, and if the Secretary of State wanted to intervene, that would be up to her to do so. But within the powers that he has at the moment, it's not feasible. But that doesn't mean that it's not going to happen.
Listening to that is Agnes Lunny, who is the Chief Executive of Positive Futures, a charity which supports people with learning disabilities. And good morning to you, Agnes, and thanks for giving us your time today.
Good morning.
What did you make of Charlotte McCardle's comments there, her view that it's not the right time for a public inquiry? Your reaction to that?
Well, I think it is very difficult. There are a lot of other processes underway at the moment. And I think if we consider the comments made by the Permanent Secretary last night, which we very much welcome, which is that nobody should have a home in Muckamore Abbey Hospital. I think we need to concentrate our efforts on moving forward. And I think that is about how do we actually ensure that we have the proper resources, the proper expertise to meet that deadline, which I honestly believe is not achievable. I don't believe it's achievable for everybody to have left Muckamore by 2019. If we think just particularly around accommodation, you know, it is not possible. I also say that I would probably suggest that not everybody at Muckamore Abbey needs specialist accommodation. We support a lot of people with complex need and positive futures, and most of them live in ordinary houses and ordinary streets. What is really important, however, is that they get the right support. Mm-hmm. And that is critical, and that makes the difference between people being able to live a good life and people going into crises. If we get that right, then people, as we have proven time and time again, can live very well in the community.
I'll come back to that question of alternative accommodation in just a moment, Agnes, but yes. just on the question of the public inquiry, just to be clear, I suppose some would say in order to move forward, as you said, we have to look back and work out how to stop anything like this happening again. So perhaps if you feel that it's not the right time for the public inquiry right now, would you like to see it implemented perhaps in 6 months to a year's time, or how do you feel about that?
I think the reality for this has been incredibly difficult. It's been devastating for all of us who I have to say I hang my head in shame to be part of the health and social care family. But if you listen to the families, it's heartbreaking, and those families need answers. And if the only way they can get answers is through a public inquiry, then that needs to happen. You know, you're right. You know, people need to know, you know, what the past has brought, and to learn from the past. And if a public inquiry can do that, then I'm interested very much in supporting families with that. It's the learning. Let's make sure that never, ever, ever again in this country will we have reports like the media has brought out. I have to compliment the media and the BBC for the work that they've done in bringing these stories to the fore.
On a personal level, Agnes, how has this been for you and the families that you're supporting and talking to every day?
This has been shattering. I've never, as I said, been so ashamed to be part of the health and social care family. I go from anger to real pain. It's very, very difficult. But we also must recognise that we're not talking here about all of social care. There's some fabulous workers, the majority of people who give their lives in support of people, of vulnerable people, are excellent workers. And, you know, we're proud to say that we employ 600 of them in Northern Ireland and another 200 in the Republic of Ireland, who day and daily are totally dedicated to ensuring people have good lives. But it is. It's the words can't explain how difficult this is. And, you know, I try to put myself in the shoes of families, and it's a very painful place.
And I'm sure the question that everyone keeps asking themselves over and over again is how could this be allowed to happen, that the people in society who deserve the most care and who should, their families should be able to trust the people who are giving the care, that it's being done in the right way. But do you worry that this is happening elsewhere, that this problem could be on a wider scale? I don't want to obviously scaremonger or concern others in any way, but would you worry that this could be happening in other units elsewhere?
Well, I think we can't be complacent. I mean, I think to say that this can't happen here is just not real. And you know, God forbid, you know, that this happens in our organisation. I think we've got to always be very diligent, and that diligence requires us make sure that we're visible in our services, that we spend time with our staff teams, that we get to know the people we support and their families, that our families and people supported are in control of their lives, that they're supported and that they understand what is good and what is not good in terms of the support that they get, so they can tell us when things aren't going well. We also need to support our staff. We need to support our staff to say, you have a responsibility. If you witness something that you don't believe to be right, you have a responsibility to report that. And within that, you will be protected. So we spend a lot of time in our organisation talking about what has now become a term that's widely used, whistleblowing. Mm-hmm. And I think these things are really, really important. But let's not kid ourselves. You know, we cannot guarantee that this is not happening elsewhere. But the reality is, I think, you know, we only ever talk about people with a learning disability when things go wrong. And, you know, my heart goes out to families, because all they ever hear is these things don't work and organisations can't do it. We need to balance this up by saying this works brilliantly well for an awful lot of people. And as I say, you know, we support over 400 people in Northern Ireland whose lives are wonderful. Mm-hmm. Families who talk day and daily and send me emails day and daily about the real difference that we've made. So let's celebrate some of the successes, and let's make sure that everybody, because the people with a learning disability have not been prioritised, and we know that we've had statements and commitments from the Department of Health in the past. Most recently, 2015, Muckamore Abbey Hospital was supposed to close. It didn't. Who was held to account? There is no accountability. So let's make sure that this time, the words that were most welcome last night from Richard Pengally, that nobody will live in Muckamore beyond December of 19, let's make sure that that happens this time.
Okay.
And we're up for the challenge. We're very happy to sit around a table and share our expertise, because we have very particular expertise, particularly in supporting people with very, very complex needs.
But
I'm very willing to share.
Just finally, very, very briefly, Agnes, but without a health minister there, you know, you almost don't have the central person to share that expertise with. How frustrating is it for you around the lack of an executive now tackling issues like Muckamore?
Yeah, it is very difficult. And again, you know, I can't think of any other part of the world where society will tolerate no government for over 2 years. You know, so we all have a responsibility there. That's not just about the parties not getting around the table. What have we done as citizens to actually voice our concern and raise our concern about the fact we don't have an executive? But let's be clear, this is not just an issue for the executive.
Okay.
This is an issue for every single one of us. And there is the expertise in Northern Ireland. There is the know-how in Northern Ireland. There's fabulous practice in Northern Ireland. We need this resource. I mean, this is not, I heard earlier listening to the chief nursing officer saying this is going to cost 1 or 2 million. We're talking tens of millions. If we know what good support looks like in the community, if we know the resources required to train staff properly, we're talking tens of millions.
Okay.
So if we're going to make this happen, we need to identify the resources, we need to communicate that resource, and we need to get on with the job.
People
deserve better.
Thank you very much. Agnes Lunny there, Chief Executive of Positive Futures, a charity.